Good morning, church. Thank you, Richard, for your introduction, and Terry, for your challenge, and the worship team. It's all coming together. The focus of our time here is Jesus. Before I forget, I want to highlight the men's night, December 9th. We're having a bowling and pizza night. So if you're interested in coming to a night of pizza and bowling, then sign up in the back so we know how many pizzas to order and we know how many lanes to book. There's a sign-up sheet in the back, or you can call or text me. My number is in the back of the bulletin as well. Pizza's at 6 o'clock, bowling is at 7, and the cost is $25. So if you're in grade 12 and up, if you're a man, you're welcome to come and hang out with the men from this church and have some fun. The Christmas shoebox is inaccurate. It said 347. It should read 349. Thanks to me for being a late comer as always. Nothing's new. I'm always late. I bought my gift items the week prior, but I wanted to buy some coloring books from Dollarama, because they're cheaper there. And I didn't get around to it until Sunday, and the deadline was Sunday. And so my wife says you should have them ready Sunday morning for church so that they can get packed and shipped away. But I'm thinking, well, I'll come to the office Monday morning, I'll drop them off, and everything's good. And so I get here Monday morning, and the shoe boxes are all gone. So I contact Justina, and she's like, oh, no, you can probably contact Forest Grove. So I contact Forest Grove. Yeah, we still got them here. So I bring my shoe boxes, my two shoe boxes, to Forest Grove Church, and hopefully they got shipped from there. So the total number is 349. So then I text my wife, and I say, I went to Forest Grove to drop off my shoe boxes. I was wrong. I'm humbling myself. Her response is, so I guess I was right. Burn. That's what I was saying. Why is that? Why do we somehow have that intrinsic value that I was right, you were wrong? There's something about us that when our kids do something that we told them not to and they do it and they get hurt or whatever, I told you. See, I was right. Not a right attitude to have. That knowledge of being right doesn't accomplish anything. It just makes you feel better, probably. See, I was right. Amen. Scripture teaches us that knowledge itself doesn't profit. Knowledge puffs up, says Corinthians, but love edifies. Let's just pray before we start. Father God, this Christmas season is a time to celebrate the birth of your Son and to rejoice in the eternal life that you've given to us. May you speak to our hearts through your word, through your servant. For your glory. Amen. Open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. We're reading from the NIV. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared. We have seen it and testified to it. And we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you may also have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. The heading in the NIV is the word of life. That's what I've titled the message, The Word of Life. It is important to know the context of why John is writing this book. He wrote the Gospel of John. Possibly John is writing this book at the end of his life, around 90 AD or 95 AD. He wrote the Gospel of John to tell the story of Jesus. It's an evangelistic book. He wants people to know who Jesus is. First John, he writes to the church. There have since been false teachers that have come into the church and proclaiming a different Jesus. There's many different branches of what this teaching was like. It's kind of like any cult, any religion that you have today. There's many branches, different ideas, different concepts. So this became known as Gnosticism, an organized religion, false teaching, in the second century developed as Gnosticism. This is the beginning stages of that false teaching. So Gnosticism is the meaning of knowledge, special knowledge. So these false teachers said, we have special knowledge. It was wrong knowledge. It was not the true gospel. But they claimed that they had a special knowledge. And so some of these branches, some of the different opinions were that spirit is good. The spirit is all that matters. The body doesn't matter. So they would focus on the whole concept of the spirit is good, the body doesn't matter. So there's two aspects to that. One branch said, if the body is bad, it doesn't matter. If it's evil and sinful, I can do what I want. It's just the spirit that matters. I can live how I want to live, indulge in all my fantasies and temptations and sin, because it doesn't matter. The spirit is what matters. The other branch would say, I need to suppress my body. My body is evil. My body is wicked. I need to starve it. I need to not eat. I need to beat it. That kind of thing. Aestheticism. But that's not what the gospel teaches. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 6, says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit lives within my body. The body matters. But there were different branches of how this false teaching was explained. So with that, if the body is bad, this Jesus that came, they would believe that Jesus was, in fact, deity. Jesus was God. But since the body is evil, Jesus didn't have a body. So they would teach that Jesus was spirit. Some would say that he was a phantom. It was imaginable, or Jesus didn't actually have a body. Or some would say that the Christ descended on Jesus at his baptism and then left at his just before the crucifixion. So there's a wide variety of this false teaching. But the concept, the brokenness of it was, they were denying who Jesus really was. They were denying who Jesus really was. One of the essential doctrines of the Christian faith is the incarnation. The incarnation, according to Webster's, is the union of divinity with humanity in Jesus Christ. And this is what the false teaching was targeting against. The unity of divinity with humanity in Jesus Christ. The Britannica Encyclopedia says it this way. Central Christian doctrine that God became flesh, that God assumed a human nature and became a man in the form of Jesus Christ. This is essential to the Christian doctrine. The Gospel Coalition says, at the heart of Christianity and the gospel is the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from the Word becoming flesh and the incarnate Son of God living and dying in our place as our Savior, there is no salvation. So if a false teacher wants to come up with a different method, a different teaching, something else, what the true gospel is, they will target Jesus. So John is addressing this false teaching. They say that Jesus is phantom, didn't really exist, wasn't really a body. And this is what John says. In the beginning, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and we have looked at, and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The title of the message is The Word of Life. We'll look at three aspects. The word of life explained, the word of life proclaimed, and the word of life sustained. The word of life explained, the word of life proclaimed, and the word of life sustained. Let's look at the word of life explained. John is saying, that which we have seen, which we have heard, our eyes have looked at, our hands have touched. Jesus had a real body. But he starts off with saying, in the beginning, that which was from the beginning before time began, before the earth was created, before you and I existed, before the world existed, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus existed in the beginning. Before the beginning, Jesus existed. The Son of God. He says in verse 1, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. Verse 2, the life appeared. That which was what? In the end of verse 2, we proclaim to you the eternal life. The word of life, the eternal life. Referring to Jesus. Jesus is the life, the word of life, the eternal life. That's a common theme in the book of John, the gospel of John. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus is the eternal word of God. But more than just the eternal word of God, he became man. He became human, like you and I. He became human so that he could die and take our sin on his body and rise again. The importance of the word of life becoming flesh is essential to the Christian doctrine. So John takes some time to explain the word of life. There are different tests. There's different ways to diagnose how you learn, how your brain functions. And so one of them is the kinesthetic way of learning. This involves, do you need to feel, do you need to touch, do you need to handle something with your hands in order for you to process it with your mind? So that's kind of the way I learn. There's like 10 different ways of learning. Are you interpersonal? Do you have to take time to reflect? Do you need time to think? Are you very logical, methodical? There's a yes and no, black and white answer. Many different ways your brain functions. One of them is the kinesthetic. And you need to see, feel, touch something. And this is kind of the way that I learn. And it's kind of nice that Jesus became human. He became flesh so that his disciples could touch him and see him and then proclaim that to the next generation. If we buy a new game, my wife reads instructions. She can read it and make sense of it. I'm like, let's play the game. Show me what I need to do. I need to do it. Tell me how to do it because I can't read it and comprehend it. And so John is very clear on how to communicate who this Jesus is. He's real. He's physical. He's a body. He's the Word of God. The Word of God explained. The Word of God proclaimed. Verse 1, this we proclaim concerning the Word of life. Verse 2, and we proclaim to you the eternal life. Verse 3, we proclaim to you what we have seen and heard. in order to proclaim something, you need a message to proclaim. Let me have a volunteer, just a two-second volunteer. I'll give you a message, and then I want you to proclaim it, okay? Volunteer, anybody. I'll give you a message, and then you can proclaim what I tell you. No brave warriors? Okay, that's okay. Anyway, so you need, you come? Okay, oh, awesome. Good, good. Okay, I will tell you a message, and then you proclaim that message to the people, okay? Very simple. Okay, go ahead and proclaim it. Aha, okay. Illustration completed. Good enough, you can sit down. You need to hear a message first before you can proclaim it. So John has heard and seen and witnessed Jesus, and now he is proclaiming Jesus. He's a messenger. There's nothing in John in himself that he has a message to say, but what he has heard, what he has received, that is what he is proclaiming. As I'm reading through the Bible, I'm way behind. I'm not keeping up to track. But I read through Ezekiel, and just one phrase caught my attention. God says to Ezekiel, tell the people what I told you. Tell the people what I told you. And as a pastor, how can I tell you what God says if he hasn't spoken to me first? That really struck me. I need to hear God. I need to hear God speak to me so that I can proclaim to you. The word of God proclaimed what John saw, what John heard, what John experienced. This is a message he is proclaiming to the church in probably Ephesus, is where the guess is, but to the church today and down through the history. The word of life needs to be proclaimed, the message of the true gospel, that which was from the beginning. And we hear it today, the same message, who Jesus is, the word of life. Third, the word of life sustained. The word of life sustained. I chose that word because sustained means to cause something to continue. To cause something to continue. And John says, I write these things to you so that you may have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And we have fellowship with the Son as well. Verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So John is inviting the church to have fellowship with him, with the apostles, because they have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. So he wants that to continue, right? The Father and the Son communicate to the apostles. The apostles communicate to the church, the word of God. We take the word of God and we then continue to the next generation, to those outside the church. This fellowship is not something to be kept to ourselves. This fellowship is to be continued, to cause something to continue. The word of life sustained. The word of life is sustained, is continued through fellowship. Fellowship, at the core of its meaning, is in common. When we as believers have something in common, we have fellowship. What we as believers have in common is Jesus Christ. There's something about another believer in another part of the world, another nationality. If you recognize that you share Jesus, you have something in common. You have Jesus in common, and you have fellowship. The other day, I pull up at Walmart in the parking lot, and I walk out, and I can hear the vehicle coming beside me, and she's got her music quite loud, and it's a familiar gospel song. It's a, I forget what the title of it was, but it was a familiar Christian song. And so I get out of my car, and I'm walking, and she pulls up, and I think that's cool. Like, I should say something to her, but it's kind of weird. And I'm walking to Walmart, but slow enough that she'll catch up to me, and hey, I heard what you're listening to. I said, what were you listening to? Oh, it's a Christian song. And I said, are you a Christian? Yes. So am I. And then we departed. And it was weird. But we had something in common. We had like 2 seconds of fellowship, I think. How is the word of life sustained? It is sustained through fellowship, that which we have in common. And so John is writing this book to the church, to believers who have been misguided, misinstructed, and the threat of fellowship is threatening the church. And so John writes this to you, I write these things to you so that you may have fellowship with us. John is very concerned that this fellowship continue. And if something is broken, we need to fix it. And so when my wife says in the text, I was right, it didn't fix anything. If she could have said to me, the boxes will leave Sunday at 4 o'clock, what am I going to do about it now? I've got a choice to make. And so here the truth of the gospel is presented. This is who Jesus is. He's God. He's the word of life. He became human. This is a truth that we want you to have as well. We want you to experience this because we want you to have fellowship with us because our fellowship is with the Father. Let me ask a question. If you do not have fellowship with Jesus, what do you need to do? If you do not have fellowship with Jesus, what do you need to do? There are typically 4 types of people in church. Those that are genuine Christians and are enjoying fellowship with their Savior. Those that are genuine Christians but they don't know that they have salvation and fellowship with the Savior. And then there are those who think that they are genuine Christians, but they do not have fellowship with the Savior. And then fourth, there are those who know, but they don't know. They know that they are not genuine believers. So let me ask you, if you do not have fellowship with Jesus, what do you need to do? As John continues, he says, come into the light. Come into the light. Get away from your darkness and come into the light. 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. If we claim to have fellowship with him, yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live by the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. If we have fellowship with one another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, purifies us from all sin. There seems to be a little bit of confusion as to we have fellowship with one another. You would think it would say, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him. But he says we have fellowship with one another. So do we have fellowship with God or do we have fellowship with one another? But I think verse 3 makes it clear. And our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And he is inviting us to have fellowship with him as well. They're both. If you have fellowship with us, we have fellowship with the Father. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. The invitation is for fellowship. God's word is relevant. God's word is applicable. It applies to our life today. John does not just want us to know that Jesus became a man, that Jesus is the Word of God in human form. He wants us to have fellowship, and he wants that fellowship to be sustained. God the Father, God the Son, the apostles, the church, you and I, to the next generation. To cause something to continue. I want to close with an illustration. I want to close with an application. I'm the type of person that wants to learn by seeing, feeling, touching, you know, kinesthetic. I think that's how you say it. I want to close with this illustration, and then we will be dismissed. So this chain that John wants to portray is a chain that extends to the next generation. To the church at Ephesus. To the believers that read the Bible down through their ages, to you and I, from you and I, we also want fellowship with those that are not here. So I want to invite us to make a chain, to simplify, to signify the picture of fellowship continuing, fellowship being sustained. So I'll hold up my hand, and I need somebody to hold my hand. Someone to hold their hand until they get to the door. When the door is opened, we will close in prayer and be dismissed. So we need about 40, 50 people to help hold the chain to outside the door. The invitation is for fellowship to be sustained outside these walls. So I need somebody to hold my hand. Someone to hold that hand. Once the chain reaches outside of the doors, we'll close in prayer and be dismissed. We need about 30 more volunteers. Whichever door you choose, why don't we choose that one over there? This chain is to be sustained for the fellowship in Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll have 5 more volunteers. Or take a step. We can widen our steps too. Let's extend this fellowship to the world outside. I think we're good. All right. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the fellowship that we have. Because of Jesus, we want those outside the walls of this church to be invited into fellowship with you. May we be representatives of Jesus for your glory. Empower us by your Spirit this Christmas to not just keep the message of the Word of Life to ourselves, but to extend it, an invitation to those outside, into fellowship with Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.